So now that we've got, I'm thinking back now to doing the joint venture deal where you've got the list.
Okay.
I've got the programmer to do the software. Now, like you said, if that programmer will take and incorporate some of these almost little viral marketing pieces into his software, then I'm going to go back to you and say, James, here's the sales page. Now, I'm going to create the sales page for the software, right?
Right.
That's part of my added value.
That's part of your added value.
Okay, so now I've got the sales page. I've put up the website. My programmer says, okay, here's the software. And then I go to you and say, James, okay, now, you can send this message out to your list.
Right.
So, in effect, I become
the go-between.
Not just really the... Sorry, which?
The go-between.
Right. But almost a little bit more, because now I'm almost the actual product owner.
Almost. Right. You're the man sitting next to the man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool because the programmer doesn't really have the knowledge or the time, or doesn't want to take the time or acquire the knowledge to learn how to market.
Right.
Us marketers are the exact opposite. We don't know how to program, and we don't want to take the time or spend the time learning how to program because, everybody can't do everything.
Exactly.
And then you got this guy over here with a list, and there's thousands of people with lists, so if somebody shoots you down and says, no, I don't want to do that, keep asking. That's one thing about joint ventures. If you can provide some value in a joint venture, keep asking, and that's your main task, to get these guys to JV with you, provide some value. Don't just say, hey, can you sell this and take 50%? Say, hey, I got this piece of software. It's got a cool viral mechanism built into it. Can we build your site into the viral mechanism also? We'll get you some more traffic by just giving this thing away. Any other opt-ins that come in, I got a back-end offer or whatever, I'll give you, even if it's 100%, it's digital products, you don't lose anything.
Right.
And you gain the customer. You gotta make it so that people have to have their eyes closed and, ears covered in order not to JV with you.
Right.
What I mean? So do all you can, provide the most value you can, become a friend, become a partner, not a what I like to call is like pimp my list, it's like, can you market this I don't even have a market for that. I can't sell that.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it comes down to knowing, check out the people first, figure out what their list is all about.
Yeah.
And then have your programmer create something that's right in line with what they're already doing, Make a bonus product for them,
Yeah.
Make a bonus. Like there's a guy with a weight loss website. It's just exploding with traffic. And I'm going to have my programmer make a bonus product for his weight loss website because I bought the ebook.
Right.
Because I want to lose 20 pounds. And I'm reading through the thing, and I'm thinking, hey, this could benefit greatly from a piece of software that would help people organize all this stuff that he's telling them to do.
Awesome.
Like make a calendar or whatever. What do you think he would say if I said, hey, I just, spent, about a month, outlining this software program that will do this, everything you said in your ebook to do. Do you want me to go ahead and make it so you can offer it as a bonus to your product and enhance the value and maybe like charge more for it?
Yeah.
He'd say, well,
no.
Sure, let me see the thing. He'd at least be interested because you've shown that you're interested in what he's doing, you're in line with what he's doing, and it only helps. So,
another win-win situation.
Another win-win, yeah. Create bonuses, guys. You hear that? Create a bonus software. You read an ebook that somebody's selling. The ebook is exploding with customers. Create a bonus.
Awesome.
Help your programmer help you, and you do the same, and help this guy. Everybody wins.
That's phenomenal.
And now you and your programmer have this list you guys are building with customers who are interested in this particular niche. It doesn't have to be internet marketing. It could be any niche you want. Tap into what somebody else is already doing,
So that actually, James, is a phenomenal way, and of course the bonus is going to have a viral element to it that's going to build your list as well.
Right, exactly.
So now you've actually created a way that you're going to have a phenomenal amount of traffic visiting your website or whatever you're promoting with the software.
Right, not just visitors, people that have bought something.
Yeah.
Interested in that particular niche, And even if you got to go out and find somebody who's selling out the wazoo on eBay,
yep.
Say, hey, any eBay auction you get, just, tack on this bonus here or there. And, they'll go, wow, cool, thanks, And now you're building this list,
and you've instantly got phenomenal traffic, phenomenal targeted traffic, without having to worry about pay-per-click and easy in advertising and all the typical routes of going about advertising.
Exactly, because you created something that you have ownership of. You couldn't do that, you know, with a resale rights product that's all over the place, you know.
Right, yeah.
You couldn't do that if you don't have the rights to do that. You can't give it away. A lot of resale rights products, you can't just give it away.
Exactly.
You know, you can't offer it as a bonus. But since you created this thing, it was just between you and the programmer. If you buy the rights to it outright, you can do whatever you want. If you're JVing with somebody, you can say, you know, this is what we should do with it. And, you know, have it established it beforehand that your job is to market and, you know, let the programmer know, like, when I have an idea, we need to try that idea, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. This project is not a baby.
Yeah.
If it dies, it's not going to be sad, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. There's lots more opportunity out there. And like you said, you bypass all that search engine junk, pay-per-click junk. I don't even deal with that. I can't stand it.
Wow.
I don't have the patience for it.
So what marketing do you do? You're doing joint ventures, obviously.
Joint ventures, straight joint ventures.
And that's it. You create the software, put a viral element into it, and get it out there with joint ventures.
Straight joint ventures. That's it. Yep.
How long have you been doing that?
Since I started, because I had no money.
Okay.
And I learned from Terry Dean, like I said, in that breakthroughs, that joint ventures was the fastest, easiest, cost-free way to generate traffic and things. So, like I said, I mean, I started out with the basic, hey, I got this product, can you sell for me type of joint venture, but mm-hmm. I started picking up everything I could on joint ventures, you know. I can't remember what some of the stuff was, but anytime there was an article on joint ventures I saw, I would take the time to read it.
Right.
If there was an e-book on joint ventures, I'd buy it, you know. And I kind of figured out that the point is to create a win-win-win, between all parties.
Right.
Myself, the customer, the list owner, the programmer, you know, everybody. And you can't really go wrong with that.
Excellent. Oh, that's a fantastic business model. Now, just if we go back to the software for a minute, how long of a time period are we looking at from the inception of the idea till the programmer actually has the piece done?
It depends on who your programmer is. Like on Rent-A-Coder, I believe there's a timeline.
Okay.
You have to be finished with the software, or the programmer does, in a certain timeline. I think you can extend it on Rent-A-Coder, but I'm not sure, because right now I'm doing my first project as we speak on Rent-A-Coder.
Okay.
And on ScriptLance, if I didn't like the bids or if I didn't like the way it was going, you know, I kind of kept with it, you know, and that's what the importance of picking a program, because you know, like I said, your money's going to be tied up in escrow for however long it takes. Really, that's the answer, for however long it takes.
Right.
And don't, you know, if you got, you know, $30 you can spare, you know, don't, you know, not 300, you know, just use the 30 to start off with a project that you can do.
Okay.
And I'm always kind of thinking a project ahead. You know, like, if I can do this, here's another cool piece of software I like to get created, and if I can do that, it's kind of like, you know, the snowball effect.
Right, yeah.
You know, once you do it once, you can do it twice, you can do it three times, you can do it four times, and so on and so on. And it can get bigger, and actually it has been, for me, bigger and bigger every time. Until eventually I got to what I'm doing now, and like I said, it's building my list for me. Like, I think I didn't do any joint ventures. I didn't do anything last week, and I think I got like 300 subscribers to my list. I didn't do nothing.
Wow.
At all.
Excellent.
And you know, every day or every other day, I see a backing offer come through with me doing nothing. If I really kick it in the gear, you know, it goes nuts.
So how do you decide, once you've got the piece of software done now, how do you decide on a price that you should be charging your customer, or that you value the piece of software at?
I think that pricing is one of my most challenging marketing aspects, but I think that if I start lower and move up higher, that's not a problem.
Okay.
But if you start higher and then move lower, people are going to get mad if they find out. Not saying that you can't do that, because it's your product, you can do whatever you want. But some people are going to be rubbed the wrong way. So I would always say, start out on the lower end of whatever your product, find some competition, see what they're charging, charge a little bit less, add a little bit more value, and to do a launch. And unless you know, you got a marketing process that works for you,
mm-hmm.
but that's just the way I do it. Because I want to initially make some sales, you know. If I don't have a list of customers, I don't have anything anyway, you know.
Yeah.
It's digital. It's going to get downloaded. I don't have to ship anything. I can't lose anyway.
Exactly.
So I charge something and I make something, you know. And with your first $30, you know, sale, you make the money you spent on the project back.
Right.
You know, from then on out, everything else is just pure profit, and, you know, it's gravy. If you got a back end built in, you know, it gets even better. So.
Now, what do you mean by a back end? If you
a back end, a totally different offer and upsell. Say, if I sell this product, like I said, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
In the software itself, you could have an ad, you know, hey, grab the resale rights to this product for $90. You know?
Right, okay.
If, you know, 100 people buy it, you know, 5 people buy the resale rights at $97 or $90, that's $500, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's easy, you know. It's an upsell. You have the back end. You make your money on the back side. You know, it's cool to make the money on the front end, but it doesn't always work out like that. But you make it on the back end, you know, it's even better.
So with Keyword Station, then, for an example,
mm-hmm.
how are you going about turning that into a profit machine, really? I mean, you've got Keyword Station's free, which is
yeah.
phenomenal. I mean, it's actually, you value that software at $200.
Right.
Which I think is low.
Which you think is low?
I think that's low, but...
Really?
Because I now that I've tried the software, it's amazing.
Did you try it?
I did. I downloaded it when you sent me the link, and I thought, holy smokes, this is phenomenal. It is definitely... it's a very good value for money at $200.
Right. Like I said, I picked it up from Corey Rudell. His teaching kind of led me to do that.
And it's totally fantastic. I mean, the software is more than what it says it is. And so you've got $200 value, but even more than that, you're giving it away for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not making any money on the software.
Right.
You do have a one-time offer. When people click through, there's a one-time offer.
Right.
How does that convert? What percentages are you looking at there?
That, I just calculated this the other day. It's something... I think there's 370 sales at $37.
Okay.
So, shoot.
370 sales out of how many people? Is that out of 8,000 people?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great, so, though.
Yeah, I think it was like something like 2% or 3%, something like that.
Yeah.
When I first started, it was like 5%. But I think I allowed people to sign up as many times as they want, because sometimes, you know, you need to do that.
Sure, yeah.
And I think a lot of people have re-signed up because they missed the download.
Right, yeah.
So it kind of skewed my my percentage, but, I mean, it's still at a great conversion rate.
Okay, yeah, it's still 4.6%.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you've got the one-time offer that's making you some money there.
Yeah.
And now you develop this phenomenal list of people who say, wow, this James guy, he really knows, you know, how to create a useful, serious piece of software.
Right.
How do you figure out what are you going to offer that list? Products.
You can ask them. You can do a survey. Like, hey guys, you know, what are you interested in the most? I haven't yet, but I just try to present the value. You know, and that's a whole another ball of wax. And writing emails, you know, to your list. But if I try to tie it in with what they've already gotten from me.
Okay.
Say, hey, if you got Keyword Station and you're doing. You know, you're trying to, you know, you found this niche, and, you know, how do you get traffic? And so now I can introduce my traffic getting offer, you know, product or whatever.
Okay.
And if you're trying to do a joint venture, you know, hey, you figured out which niche you're going to go after. How do you do a JV in a niche? You know, what's the best way to go about doing it? And now I can introduce my JV product, you know, to the list. It's really, you know, you kind of, there's a word I picked up the other day from, I think, some Gary Halbert or Carl Galati, massage. You can massage them
right, okay.
into it, you know, where you can work them into it. If, you know, if it doesn't make sense, then, you know, people won't, you know, be as apt to be interested in it, but make it make sense, you know.
Right.
Tell them why. Tell them why they need, you know, to do that or buy this or read this or get this free book or whatever, you know. And like, I still offer a lot of free stuff to my list. Like, you know, two or three times a week, I try to offer something, you know, for free, you know, if it's just a little report or whatever.
Okay.
Because I don't like to write. I haven't written an article in a long time.
Right.
But I got all these e-books and stuff sitting on my computer, so I go through them, I pick out the good ones, and I say, hey, here, read this. Or, you know, I do a joint venture. You know, Terry, he's got an excellent free membership or excellent free e-book. Go read Terry's book. You know, and I send opt-ins to my partner's page, and they send opt-ins back to me at Keyword Station, from their list. So that's kind of how I turn it into, through the revenue.
So do you kind of take a, we'll say Keyword Station,
mm-hmm.
and try and think how many people would be downloading Keyword Station? What interests would those people have? Well, number one, they probably have a website, right?
Right, or they're, they're people who are interested in niche marketing. They mm-hmm. these people have obviously learned about niche marketing. They know about the importance of doing keyword research.
Right.
And anybody that's at that level of knowing that keyword research is important, they probably know a lot of other things too.
Right.
And want to know a lot of other things. So.
So you can expand on knowing that they probably have a website. They're probably looking at niches.
Yeah.
You can just take basically those two top level interests and just expand on those.
Offering, right.
Like you said, ebooks, free software, products.
Yeah.
Etc.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, you own the list now.
Mm-hmm.
If it bombs, you didn't lose anything.
Exactly.
It took you about an hour to, maybe put, an offer together. And everything doesn't, sell Blockbuster, type of, we all don't do $1 million in 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you can do, 3,000 in 3 days,
yeah.
And you do that, every month, you're getting a, $10,000 a month income there.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't have to do a whole lot of work to do that.
Not a whole lot of work, Terry.
That's a nice thing.
Nope, not a whole lot at all. I think a lot of the time I spend on the internet, I kind of goof off.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'm not really always working, per se.
Yeah.
I would say that the work is actually maybe 2 or 3 hours a week, the actual work.
Wow.
Now,
can I ask you what kind of an income are you actually making on 2 or 3 hours a week?
About $10,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah,
and that's using this business model that we're just talking about now.
Yeah, and that was starting from December. Before that, it wasn't that, but ever since I introduced Keyword Station, it's been about $10,000 a month. Before that, it was like $5,000, so it kind of doubled. And my list was smaller. In November, my list was, I think it was 12,000.
Right. Yeah.
And it's now February of 2007.
Yep.
And it's like 20,000 plus.
Phenomenal. Now that you actually touched on another point is actually writing the emails to your list.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a formula for coming up with subject lines that people are going to make people open the email and then on in through how people draw people into the email? Do you have a kind of a formula you follow?
It's kind of just the same as writing a headline for the biggest benefit goes into the subject line.
Okay.
Or the most attention-grabbing thing goes in the subject line. Like I believe I sent the ad out for Larry Dodson.
Mm-hmm.
He had a free copywriting product he was giving away, and it's been floating around for a long time.
Right.
I think it's the 10,000 words and phrases that sell.
Yep.
And so he wrote me and he said, let's do the ad swap today. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll send out the ad to the list. And he wanted to give that away, and I'm thinking, man, that's been given away so many times, I don't think anybody on my list is going to want it.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the subject line. I put, I always use the words, no, I started doing this first, so I get to claim something.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people doing it. They put no cost in their subject line. I started doing that.
All right, on. You're a pioneer.
Look at me. No, I see a lot of people do it because it gets people to open.
Yeah.
Like they go no cost because you can't use free. You got spam filters.
Yeah.
So I started putting, when I got something free, I put no cost in there. And then I put 10,000 copywriting tools.
Right.
Because that's what Larry had put in his ad. And I was like, wow, that's a great attention grabber.
Yep.
Because, you put a number in there. 10,000, 10,000 copywriting tools? No way.
Yeah.
And you're not lying, they are. Each word is a different tool. I mean, each word is a power word that you can inject into some copy to get it to convert better. So that's what I put. People downloaded it like crazy.
Yeah.
I emailed Larry. I said, Larry, how'd your ad do? He said it did great.
Cool.
So, when you're writing a subject line, write to grab attention, but don't lie.
Yeah.
Write to grab attention. Like I know Tellman. You talked about Tellman the last time we talked.
Yeah.
Tellman writes some of the kookiest subject lines.
Oh, no.
Tell him to write some of the craziest emails. He will have a riddle as an email.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I read the thing all the way to the end because I go, this guy's crazy. But it makes, you know, he's getting a point across in the email at the same time as he's being himself.
Exactly.
So it's kind of funny. It's out of the norm. It's cool to read. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that he gets a lot of people to a site, you know, that way.
Yeah.
So
you inject a lot of your own personality into the emails then?
Yeah, my personality is kind of straightforward and practical.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, if there's a number I can put in there, numbers are good. If you've got a number that you're saying, like, I can give you X amount of this or come grab X amount of that, people are going to open, especially if it's a high number.
Yeah.
Because psychologically, people want more. The more you give them, they go, wow, you know.
Right.
The keyword station, 7.7 million keywords.
Yeah.
That's my subject line that I've been, you know, doing my joint ventures with.
Yep.
Hey, no cost. Grab, you know, 7.7 million keyword software. You know, and then you put what's the format of the what you're giving away? Ebook, software. Put that in there. If it's a software, I think a lot of times people are more apt to open it because software has more value. That's another reason why I started creating software.
Okay.
Once it does what it does, it does what it does forever. As long as nothing major changes. Like if it's internet based, if the internet supports it, like say you're doing some, it does Google research and Google changes.
Yeah.
You know, then you're gonna have some problems. But if it's self-contained, like Microsoft Word, it does what it does, and it's been doing that for, you know, 25 years.
Yeah.
It you know, it works. So once you create a software, you get done with it. That's it. It works. It's over. You know, unless you feel like updating it. So.
Right.
Has more perceived value. Put that in the subject line, and give value. Wherever, if you got a great value, you know, boil it down to as short as possible. Put that in the subject line. Put the date in the subject line, because put newsletter in the subject line, and you know it helps to get through more. I've experienced better open rates with that.
Okay, excellent.
And you know, really, that's it. You know, it comes down to learning that how to write a good kick butt headline. And once you can do that, you get good open rates. I think we talked about that a little bit the last time I talked to you. Like, you know, what's your open rate?
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to have something to measure mine against. But
and what are you? What is your open rate now?
My open rate is normally about 12 to 15%. I mean, you know, 10, 12, 15%. You know, consistently.
And that falls in within kind of the norm, or is that?
That's what I'm doing now. I'm in the process of figuring that out. Anybody out there listening to this, if you got some open rate figures, email them to me so I can measure them against mine. So, because I want to know, you know, because I don't think that information is really, you know, prevalent on the internet, you know, and because, you know, you got to have a list that you own to get that information.
Exactly.
Or several lists to measure against, and I only have, you know, a few lists, and I email them, you know, all at the same time, usually, unless it's, you know, some special deal.
Right. Now, when we get back to software-wise, are you selling everything online, or do you do some offline stuff as well?
Excuse me. I sell everything online right now, but I'm really looking at getting into diving into offline markets.
Okay.
And creating software for brick-and-mortar businesses, like
right.
offline businesses. Because I mean, they have more things at risk, and they're probably willing to spend a lot more money to solve a problem. You know, especially.
Sorry, go ahead.
Like marketing. You know, mm-hmm. And I can probably give up this idea because there's so much room for it. Autoresponders.
Uh-huh.
You know. They don't know how to use autoresponders, but they could get so much more business if they had autoresponders in place, I mean, right there in the store. I mean, how much is it to, you know, grab a laptop? Most of these places already have broadband nowadays because they take those credit cards.
Yeah.
And they use broadband internet to do that and say, hey, would you like to... You there, Jerry?
Well, yeah, I'm still here.
You know, would you like to be on our list, you know, while they're waiting? You know, give them a free coupon. Fill out this form on this laptop. Get a bunch of coupons, you know, and man, they could drive so much traffic, you know, foot traffic,
yeah.
back to their stores that way. You know, then you could, you know, figure out, you know, hey, you know, if your birthday's coming up, here's our birthday special. Anniversary's coming up, here's the anniversary special. You know, we're having a, you know, especially for restaurants, I think, or you know, we're having a band, or it's pizza night, it's family night, and you know, you could pack your restaurant on off nights by having, you know, an email list. So I really want to get in the, you know, that niche, you know, with having my programmer build an autoresponder for local businesses. So.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I think I'm going to have to leave now. I have to go talk to some businesses.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
Great. That's great. We're just something that's so obvious and used daily, you know, by us online, and take that concept offline.
Right.
And help them build a business. They'll probably think you're a god.
They would. I mean, especially because, like I say, now you got a piece of software that it runs on a monthly, you know, basis.
Yeah.
You can offer a free trial. Once you get them sucked in, they start building the list. They're not going to want to let it go. You know, like, hey, I don't want to let this service go.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, you can. There's so much stuff you could do with that. That's a whole nother interview. You know,
wow.
Businesses you could start, you know, that, you know, a lot of us are trying to do online.
Yeah.
That are crowded, and then you could turn around and do it offline, and, you know, bam, man, you got thousands of different people that would be your customers. You know.
Wow.
So
that
is all software based. You know.
That is a powerful idea. That's phenomenal. When you're doing pieces of software like this, when you're doing right from the scratch, like you do with Keyword Station, what kind of problems do you run into? I'm sure everything doesn't run totally smoothly.
Oh, there's all types of problems. I mean, you got like, the first problem I encountered was the software was too big, like I said.
Yeah.
People aren't going to wait to download, or people don't have the capacity to download a gigabyte worth of information in one sitting.
Right, yep.
So I figured if I could get it down to 200 megabytes, people with broadband would be able to download that in, like, what, 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
If you're on dial-up, you can't download much nowadays anyway, so I figured most people have broadband. If you're serious about business, you know, online, you got broadband. If you don't have broadband, I think Keyword Station is a good enough value that you should go to somebody's computer that does have broadband, download it, and burn it to a CD.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Because, you know, you could either spend, you know, $400, $300 getting another piece of similar software, or you can get this one, hop on your friend's computer, burn it to a CD, and take it home. You know, so that was the first hurdle, and the second hurdle was there was some functionality issues. But like I said, when that comes up, you know, if it's not working the way you want it to work, hey, it's not working the way I want it to work. It has to work like this, because a lot of your customer satisfaction comes in usability. If it's not usable, people are not going to be happy.
Exactly.
You know, it has to do what you say it does and you want it to do. And in retrospect, if it comes out a little bit less than what you want it to be, that's okay. Just don't say that it can do that, you know?
Right.
When you introduce it, say that you just state up front what it can do. It doesn't have to be the end all to all be all. Just make it do one thing. If you want to start out with software, create products that just do this one simple thing.
Uh-huh.
Say, hey, I got a piece of software that creates name squeeze pages, but it puts the person's names into your website, you know?
Yep.
Squeeze page creators are everywhere, but I don't know how many personalized ones you got.
Right.
You know, and then after you do that, and then you can always upgrade later. You can always update the software with new features,
uh-huh.
You know? So, usability, I think, is the biggest, the second biggest hurdle. Learning how to make a software appear user-friendly.
Right.
And all I did was I modeled some of the best software creators out there, Microsoft. I kind of started looking at how they had it set up. And so when I got a desktop piece of software, I go, hey, look, I want this thing to run on a desktop with Windows. I want it to have the typical Windows software interface.
Uh-huh.
You know, file, edit, view, tools at the top.
Yep.
You know, things down the left side, some buttons. Scroll bars on the right, you know, and if you keep it that way, people see it, they're used to it,
right?
And even if they don't know, in a short amount of time,
right.
Especially, and then you created the software, you can take your outline, and that usually is my user manual. I kind of rewrite it, take out some of the programming stuff, and it becomes my user manual.
Perfect.
I fill in my outline again with, okay, this, you know, part here does this. This is how to use it. Or, like I said, make a video outlining how to use it, you know.
Awesome.
And you don't have to create a user manual. You can spend 5 minutes using your own software Now you got a user video.
You got the online user manual.
Right, the online user manual.
Awesome, awesome. Well, if we took James right now, somebody who's, you know, got enough computer knowledge that they could actually go out and say, yes, I could get a programmer, I could write an outline the same as you did. Can we just give, what would be kind of a starting budget that somebody would be looking at?
A starting budget. To be honest, Terry, it depends on what the programmer's bid and how much you're willing to spend. I've spent $5 on a program before. Very simple, very basic.
Okay.
But what I did was I dressed it up with my sales letter, my copywriting, and my graphics.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think it's Easy Audio Generator that I created, and that was some years ago, and it's one of those software that puts audio on your website, but it comes from the MP3s that you create. Any MP3 can now be an audio on your website, you know.
Awesome, yeah.
To record the MP3. So I think that one was like $5 or $10. And then I got, you know, on the other end, Keyversation, which was like $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a year to put that together, but it was worth it, you know. And then we got stuff that takes, you know, 5 days, and it costs $15, you know. So whatever your budget is, wherever you want to start out at, however comfortable you feel with it, start there, you know. You know, you don't have to go out spending, you know, a huge ungodly sum of money getting a piece of software created. Just make sure, like I said, it does what you want it to do.
Excellent. Now, if we just before we wrap it up, if we could give somebody the very basic, simple steps just to kind of summarize what we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
How would we go about 1, 2, 3 going from start to finish?
For like what aspect? Is this the creation aspect or?
Yeah, basically we decide just kind of to summarize what we've talked about, where we've come from an idea right up to the piece of software that we're going to be able to start doing joint ventures with.
Oh, okay. You know, you want to, you know, like find out where the market is, you know, as first before you create anything. You know, is there a market for this thing? Do you have anybody who's selling any similar type of items? And, you know, then when you do that, maybe you want to buy your competition software. You know, see where it's lacking. See where you can add some elements to that. And, you know, even if you make a video of yourself using the competitor software and tell your programmer, like, hey, this is what's missing. Add this in. Make me something that looks just like this, but add this, you know. And that's just the way business is done. You know, you got competition all over the place. Happens every day. You're taking an idea and you're making it your own. Don't just copy someone's idea, you know, because you don't have any uniqueness in that.
Right.
Take an idea, make it unique. You know, heck, even if it's I'm probably creating competitors for myself right now.
Yep.
But you know, I'll end up doing the same thing. You know, 3 months down the line.
Exactly.
You know, we can go back and forth, and it raises, you know, the bar as far as that niche is concerned. You know.
Yep.
So, check out some competitors, visit some forums, see what people want. Start, you know, writing your purpose statement, why you want this software made, what it's for. And, you know, write your outline. If you want to visually get across what your software should look like and you can't use Photoshop, draw it out, paper, ruler, scan it, send it over to the programmer. If you don't know how to do that, there's lots of tutorials about how to scan and as an image and send an email. Just you know, if you can't do it, email me, admin@findhotniches.com. I can, you know, tell you how to do it. After you do that, you know, you want to test the software. That's a point we didn't cover. Test the software thoroughly. Have several other people test it. Like, there's still some problems I had with software I created because I didn't test it all out before.
Right.
And you can't make everybody happy all the time. There's going to be some problems. But as long as you know, you knock out 90% of bugs or compatibility issues, you're going to be fine. Because everything doesn't always go 100%.
Right.
And, you know, after that, you know, start thinking of some viral elements you can stick into your software. Is there a free report that will go great with your software that you could, you know, have your programmer say, hey, can you put this little button in the window that will pop up to my website? It's offering this book, especially if you're going to start selling resale rights or master resale rights to your software.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one thing I didn't do earlier. Had I done it, I'd probably have, you know, double the size of my list by now. You know, because I got software floating out there. I Google it, and there's, you know, 10,000 websites with, you know, floating window generator on it, which is something I created 5 years ago. You know,
fantastic.
3,000 websites with Easy Audio Generator. I have no viral elements in those whatsoever, but
right.
You live, you learn. Incorporate some viral elements into it. Go out and seek some JV partners while you're creating the software so you can, you can have everything lined up when the software is ready to go. Actually, get your JV partners to test the software. That's a good way to massage somebody into a JV.
Right.
Say, hey, I got this great new piece of software. Can you just test it for me? I need some people to test it. Go into a forum and say, hey, guys, I need 100 beta testers for this software. I mean, more times than not, if it's a good, useful piece of software, you're going to get people asking you, do you have an affiliate program, for this program?
Very nice.
Yeah. So do that. If you're going to give it away for free, study back-end marketing, one-time offers. We see them all the time. They work. That's why we see them all the time. And rinse and repeat, really.
Beautiful.
Rinse and repeat.
Do you have any last words of advice before we wrap it up for tonight?
I know that we pretty much covered a lot. I'll say if any of you guys are out there starting and you don't have much money, you don't, think you can do it, you can do it. We do it. I started from nothing. When I started out, I was broke. I was getting paid $12,000 a year. So not a lot of extra money floating around for a guy that's 27 years old.
Wow.
No car, didn't own anything. And family's not really, have much money, so it's hard. But stick with it. Don't listen to people that say you can't do it. Don't even tell them your ideas. Don't tell them you're starting a business. When you get online, don't worry about because if they tell you something, it's contagious if it's negative. You might start to believe that you can't do it, and you don't want that to happen because I don't want you to quit. It took me, I think what you said before we started talking, what was the quote you said? 20 years?
Yeah, it takes 20 years to become an overnight success.
Exactly. See, yeah, right. It took me 10 years, And, sometimes it's that way, and learn from guys who can help you. Seek out people who can help you, and your learning curve will dramatically, it'll be so much shorter. I wish I had started buying stuff and learning from people who know what they were doing earlier, because I would have gotten started a lot earlier making money instead of trying to figure out how to do it. So,
excellent. That is just beautiful advice. Thanks so much for being with us today, James. You have been an inspiration and an education in a little over an hour. I think this has just been a complete education in a box in about an hour and 10 or 15 minutes. So you've been listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com and James Jackson from FindHotNiches.com and another one that he didn't actually mention but is another cool site called ContentAndMore.com. Thanks very much for your time.